Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Do You Have Full Joy in the Gospel? And I want to ask, why should we feel joy with the gospel? And amongst the many church bodies out there, where does our LCMS church stand on with the issues of abortion, godly marriage, evolution, God's creation in Genesis, and more? Well, let's find out how the gospel can fill us with joy, shall we?
Well, this last week, as you know, I was at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National Convention, which only happens every 3 years, and I just got to say how blessed and happy I was to be part of a great event, because our denomination is really pretty amazing. We're not perfect. We have definitely our problems, but amazing, because they took so many clear and bold stands on so many super important issues of our day, especially missions, getting the gospel out to the ends of the world. Heard some fantastic stories of our missionaries who risked life and limb against marauding Muslims in Sierra Leone, Africa, to bring the gospel to people and how they got saved. Fantastic stuff. Took stands on the sanctity of life once again, officially, that we believe, and the life in the womb is holy. In godly marriage, one man and one woman is marriage. On caring for the mentally ill. Once again, rejected evolution. And here's an amazing one. In Genesis chapter 1, we affirmed as a whole denomination and by a great majority and almost unanimously, we believe in a literal 6 days of creation, namely natural, normal days, not eons and billions of years. We also had resolutions on treating immigrant crisis in America justly, but also lovingly. And we gave the right hand of fellowship, pulpit and altar fellowship, to a number of evangelical Lutheran churches around the world. We became, you know, partners with them officially in churches that were in Denmark and in South Africa and in Belgium and other places, actually Portugal and some other places. But I thought the biggest and best thing was the theme. It was joyfully Lutheran, which I might say joyfully Christian, full of joy in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. And that's what I'd like to talk with y'all about today. I can say y'all because we're in the South, right? About, once again, let's just refresh ourselves in the joy and kindle it up high to a great super place of joy in the gospel. How we are saved, justified by faith in Christ. Because that's really the center of what we always preach as Christians, and especially in the Lutheran Church. Why would we want to talk about that again today? Don't you already know the gospel? Of course you do. But we really want to look into this and refresh our joy in that often, because, number one, our faith is made strong when we hear it again. Our joy increases. And secondly, you know what? We can drift away from it if we don't hear it. If we don't hear it often or come to church often and hear it often, it's so easy to drift away from it. If you look over there in the Bible at the Galatian churches, they were starting to drift away from it, even though they had it at one time. Therefore, Paul says to them, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who calls you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. What were they doing? Drifting, wandering, going and erring to the right or to the left. He says, not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you some gospel contrary, let that one be accursed, says Paul. So it's very possible to drift from it. Do you know what? We're living in a day and an age where a lot of churches and a lot of denominations have drifted from it. To the right hand, that is to legalism, or to the left, turning it into a license for sin. You know, Luther fought against that in his days, the 1500s. Catholic Church at that time drifted and erred from justification by faith. He had to call them back to the truth. And even Luther says he was tempted to drift. He says, I quote him, he says, "I often experience this myself," said Martin Luther, "for I know the hours of darkness in which I sometimes wrestle. I know how often I lose the roots of the gospel and grace, as if they were suddenly hidden from me by dense clouds." Do thick thunderstorms come in and roll over your faith sometimes and rob you of your joy, that it not be full in the gospel? Well, let's refresh ourselves in it today, that we not drift, but hold it fast with super joy, because we want to get to the end of our lives and say with Paul, "I've kept the faith, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, therefore there's laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which is laid up for me not by the righteous judge, which he'll award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." So what do we have to refresh ourselves in? You want to have some more joy today? What do we need to remember? Well, the first thing let's remember is that there is a great judgment that's coming upon the world and to us. We read this in Scripture. Let's open up to Malachi chapter 4, who spoke of it. "Behold, the day comes," said Malachi, "burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day comes that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch." That's pretty terrifying. You know what? There's so many churches today that don't even mention the day of judgment or wrath to come. This is one thing we need if we're going to have our joy in the gospel refreshed. We got to remember judgment comes upon the world soon. Zephaniah wrote it this way: "The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, of distress and anguish, of ruin and devastation, of darkness and gloom, of clouds and thick darkness, of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements." Wow. Does that sound terrifying to you? Raise your hand. That's terrifying. Jesus put it this way: "In the days before I come," he said, "in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky and the powers of the heavens shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power, great power and glory. And then he'll send out his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." This is the day of the great judgment of the Lord that's coming. Do you believe in that? Are you getting refreshed in that now? Well, Paul says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God, for it's written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God." And so each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's the first thing we need to remember to be refreshed in, and I hope sharing and just hearing these words makes it sharper and clear in our minds again today. These things, there's a day fixed, says Paul, where God's going to judge the world by a man whom he's appointed, and he's given assurance to all men of this by raising him from the dead. So that's coming. That's the first thing we need to remember. Secondly, we need to remember what we need to survive that day, to get through it, to pass through it unscathed and alive, full of joy. What do we need to get through? You tell me. Yep, faith. Let me just say it this way: righteousness. We need righteousness. For listen to how God, our Lord Jesus, speaks of that in Matthew chapter 13. Let's open up, read this one. Matthew 13, verse 41, Jesus says, here it is: "The Son of Man will send his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers." Who's that? "The unrighteous, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." So it's really not good to be unrighteous on that day. Amen? Big trouble. Big trouble. But then we read, then the righteous, Jesus says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So who's it who's going to shine? The righteous. And so we need righteousness to get to heaven. Thirdly, now, let's understand what kind of righteousness do we need to get there, up above. What kind of righteousness? Well, a lot of people, here's where they mess up, right? They think pretty good righteousness. Just a nice guy, more or less. You know, I had an instance a couple weeks ago. I was talking with a lady, an unbeliever, outside our church, and she asked me, you know, what happens to us when we die? She was just really making conversation. I don't know if she really cared, but I said, and she said in so many words, how do I go to heaven? I said, you need righteousness. And she says, I'm a pretty nice person. I'm righteous. I'm good. I'm thinking, no, you're not, because none of us are. But nevertheless, I took to her the law, the Ten Commandments. And I said, how about this one? God says you shall never lie. Have you ever lied? Oh, of course. White lies? Well, that makes you a liar. You ever disobeyed your parents? Oh, we all do. That makes you a rebel. And went through those, and she had to see that she was a sinner, but she wouldn't admit it. She says, but I'm still a nice person. I'm pretty nice. Must be good enough. I said to her, you know, pretty good may work with men. You can have sin on you and walk around this world and still be alive in a sense. But we're talking about going there. And I pointed up to the sky. We were outside. I said, looked up at the clouds. Look up high, high above. That's a different kingdom where God is. So high, you're not going to get in there with sin on you. You're not going to be able to get in. You need a, what kind of righteousness? Perfect righteousness. Absolutely perfect and pure. Like, dun-ta-da-da, this glass of water here. Look at that. Perfectly pure, spotless water. That's what we need. And why do we need to be perfect? Because God himself is perfect. Where he lives also is perfect. The Bible says that God, his way is the rock, his way is perfect. And all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without sin, just and upright is he. Well, this puts us into a tough situation, doesn't it? Why is it a tough situation? Karen, why is that tough?
Because we're sinners.
You got it.
Here was our righteousness. Oh, it was so pure. Oh, I could drink it. Pure, good water. In fact, that's just fabulous. Well, what happened to us? Sin came into the world. Sin came into us. And what happens if I just put even one drop of sin in here? Right, that was two. Look at what happens. Can you see that in there? How am I going to go with the righteous God when I have sins? All of a sudden, look, this, I'm pouring iodine into here. This is all now becoming very mucky, very disgusting, impure, unrighteous, filthy. And now am I going to pour that into this pure glass of water? And will God accept that? He's pure. We're sinners. Big problem between these two. I tried to explain to the lady. Big problem. You're not going to get up there with this stained one. And the bigger problem than that is what? We've not only sinned once. How many times have we sinned? Art, how many times?
More than 10.
More than 10. Thank you, Art. You know, if you get to be 70 years old, and some of you I know are a little older, and you were so good that you could only sin one time a day, which all of us sin more than that, but if you just got one sin a day, mathematically, that'd mean you'd have 25,500 sins upon you. Look at that. It gets darker and darker. Is God going to accept that into his place above, and you're going to come in there with this? Guess what? The doors are going to be shut. The bars will be locked, and you'll be kept out. Because we need righteousness to get to heaven. Our sins will bar us from that holy place. That's a big problem. For the upright, shall inhabit the earth, says Proverbs 2, but the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. God will pull them up by the roots and throw them out and burn them, Jesus says. So that sounds like a big problem. We need righteousness, and none of us got it on our own. Big, big problem. So how do we get joy? That's what we're talking about. And fullness of joy. What's the good news? The good news, friends, is this. Is that God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. In sending his own son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect, like this glass of water, totally pure, down into our sinful world to do something great for us. And what is the gospel? Is that Jesus comes and says to you and me, here, give me your sin. I will take that myself. And here, take my righteousness. Let me give that one to you. What's his righteousness again? Nancy, what is it? Perfect, right? Perfect righteousness. That's what we need. God says, yours is never going to avail. You couldn't do it. What you can't do, I'll do for you by grace. Let's read that in the Bible. That famous passage we always look to, very often anyway. But let's delve into it a little more. Romans chapter 3. It says, verse 22. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that's the stained glass right here. But they are justified by his grace, says the Bible, as a gift. And you could say free gift, for every gift is free. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means you're bought back. He's done something for you that we could not do for ourselves. Redemption. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to atone for these sins. I'm going to take these sins. Here, you all, give me your sins. God, Father, place them upon my back, and I will carry them to the cross, die for them to take them away from them, that I might then give them a free gift called righteousness. My own righteousness, not your righteousness. I will give you my righteousness, and I'll take away your sins. We see this here going on to the next line. It says, this whole thing was to show God's righteousness. Say God's righteousness.
God's righteousness.
So it's his righteousness we're talking about. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, his super abundant endurant patience with you, in his divine forbearance, he'd passed over our former sins. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies him who has faith in Jesus. If you listen to that passage, the only guy that got the right righteousness is God. He says he's got the righteousness, but he now gives it to us and he takes away our sins. Martin Luther called it the great exchange. You ever heard of that phrase? Where here's us over here with sin, here's God with righteousness, and God just goes, crosses his hands and reverses them. Here, you take my righteousness. Let me take your sins away. Are you starting to feel a little joyful? Say amen.
Amen.
Can you drift away from this and start to lose your joy? Yes. How do you get it back? By hearing it again. That's what we're doing. You got to hear this and see it. Is this found in the Old Testament? All over the place, but let's look at that famous passage, Isaiah 53. All right, here we go. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. So who's the one doing the active work there? Him, Jesus. He's receiving the punishment for our sins, it says. A righteous one, this glass, suffering the sins for the sins of somebody else. He was wounded for our transgressions. a righteous one is there in our place, taking a punishment that we deserved, it says. And verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, that's God the Father, has laid upon the Christ, like this, the iniquities of us all. That's beautiful. Here's a righteous person, the Christ, taking the sins of sinful people in order to do what for them? To make us righteous, perfect, like himself, by what he's done. A perfect righteousness. Going back to this, let's look at one other verse there. Isaiah 53, when he rises from the dead, he shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. God says to Christ, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, that's Jesus, he shall make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities, which means sins. Notice that. The righteous one is going to make sinners, who's bearing their sins, to be accounted as righteous. Sinful people are being counted as righteous. How? Yep. And it's through faith in him. When we believe on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God counts it. He reckons to you. He puts this into your account. He counts this righteousness as your own. And your sins, he counted to Christ, and Christ took them away. Isn't that beautiful? Are you starting to have a little more joy now? I'm getting joyful just preaching on this. This is fabulous. In the New Testament, let's go back to Romans chapter 5. We read here in verse 15 and 17. Let's do those two verses. For if many died through one man's trespass, that's Adam's sin, much more have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, everybody, in other words, was under death because of Adam's sin, and we all sinned, looking like this stained glass over here. It says, much more. How much more? How much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Look at that. God gives you what? A free gift of righteousness. Say that with me. Free gift of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. It calls it a free gift. Now, is that a good deal or what? You know, we have a president, God bless him, who's always talking about the art of the deal. He says it's the best book after the Bible. Right? I don't know if I agree with that one, but talk about a deal. God says, for free, I'll take your sins, and for free, I'll give you righteousness. It's a free gift. That's how we're justified, by somebody else's righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And you believing on God's Son, God will reckon his righteousness to those who believe in him. He'll justify those who believe in Jesus. Are you justified today? Do you believe on him as your Lord and Savior? You have the gift, the free gift of righteousness. And again, how do we receive it? As we said, by faith. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. If you could be saved by your own righteousness, why did Christ come to die? Think about that. If you could get there by your own righteousness, which could never do the job, why would Jesus have come to die an agonizing, terrible death? Why would God have ever let that happen unless it were necessary? You know why he let it happen, Alice? Because it was necessary. You could not save yourself by your own way. He had to save you. He had to save us. We were all like, Isaiah says, all our righteous deeds like a polluted garment. We were all like one who was unclean. We were all, he says, fading like a leaf. You ever see a leaf fall down? We were all fading like a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, were taking us away. Like a great windstorm in fall, just driving us away. That's where we were. God says, but even then I looked and I saw and I loved you. That's when I came and gave you what you couldn't get yourself. I gave you my righteousness and I took your sins. And it's a free gift, says the Bible. Say free gift.
Free gift.
Now, a free gift has to be free, doesn't it? If you pay for it, it's not a gift. And if it's your own, it's not a gift. Let's say, did I come up to Kevin today and say, boy, Kevin, that's a really sharp-looking shirt. I give it to you. What would you say? You'd say, Greg, you're crazy because I bought this shirt. It's my own shirt. I'd be nuts because you don't give a gift to somebody that they already own themselves. God's not going to give you a righteousness you already have that's your own righteousness. But if you're naked and you come here and you have no clothes on, glad you came with clothes, by the way, Kevin. But if he had no clothes and I took off my robe and I covered him in it, and he'd say, oh, thank you. I was naked, but you clothed me. Thank you. That's a great gift because I gave him something that he didn't have that was my own that then I gave to him, which was my own, that he now possesses. That's a free gift. And friends, that is how God has saved us, through the free gift of righteousness, says the scripture. That should make us abundantly joyful all our days and give us great confidence on account of it. So having been justified by faith, then what are we supposed to do? Go on and live a horrible life? No, we're supposed to live righteously. We start to have an active righteousness. In other words, we start to keep Christ's commands. We follow him. We obey him. We live righteously. And in short, here's the beauty. The Holy Spirit comes in and starts to sanctify us and make us holy. And God comes to our sinful lives, having justified us. And he... Ta-da! Oh, what a trick. Look at that. I poured in this righteous bottle, and all of a sudden that sin-stained iodine bottle has now become perfectly pure like the other. That's what God's doing in your life, making you daily more like himself. But let's always remember, the righteousness that justifies us is Christ's righteousness, gifted to you and covers you as a free gift, which you receive by faith. And that should make our joy full. And that's why this whole convention was so awesome this week, as I conclude here, because, you know, we're a part of a denomination that constantly is emphasizing justification by faith alone in Christ. And then we live a righteous life of good works on account of it. We read here in the Book of Concord, this is the Augsburg Confession, this is what our church believes. And I'm so happy we still stand on. Furthermore, it's taught that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God through our work, merit, or satisfactions. But we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God out of grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. When we believe that Christ has suffered for us and that for his sake, our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. For God will regard and reckon this faith as righteousness in his sight, as St. Paul says in Romans 3 and 4. That's our church. In fact, that's the Christian church's confession. And I'm so thankful to have joy with you in this common salvation in our Savior. May you increase in that joy today. And as God says in Isaiah 12, verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Do You Have Full Joy in the Gospel? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.